Blog Talk Radio. I wake up with a thankful heart every day when I wake up, and I am thankful. I need to work a little bit on my technology skills because it seems that we have added, since we have added Zoom to our blog, I'll get on, and for some reason I'm shuffling here and there trying to get things straight, and especially when I'm missing my better half to correct things. So if you happen to get on Zoom and you see my wife's name, it's because I am into her Zoom account rather than mine, okay? And I think she's going to change that right now. Thank you so much for that. We're going to have prayer, and then right after we have prayer, we're going to move into the message. We're going to move into the message, and then we're going to dialogue. We will dialogue on the message. Amen. As we go forward, I am looking at, who's that, 973. Dr. Suzanne, would you please lead us in prayer, and then I will share the blog information for those who would like to listen to it later. Amen.
Thank you,
Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for this time, dear Lord, of peacifying with you, the time, Father God, to focus in on your word and the scriptures that where you prescribe to study, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, that you bless each and every household that's represented online, today on the radio, Lord, Father God, those who have been listening to wanted to be with us, Lord, there's even extensions of our home, Father God, that you have blessed all of the homes, we thank you, Father God, that there be a spirit of truth and life, Father. We're ready to be all ready to learn, ready to receive, ready to recognize the way of God, to speak the message that we have. We thank you, Father God, that anything that the enemy would try and bound and paralyze right in Jesus, anything that he would try to distract us with is bound and paralyzed. We need understanding, we need clarity, we need to fill right now. Major, cognition, Father God, in the name of Jesus that we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for all those who have been praying for, dear Lord. We give you messages of those who have lost the battle. The Lord, Father God, is there. We thank you, Father God, for those who have gone home and their impact on the body of Christ and their families, Father God. We lift up their families, Father God, that they would be comforted. Because the word teaches us, Father God, that those that need us should be comforted. We thank you for blessing those, Father God, that may be waiting for us, Father God, those who are looking for attention and hearing those that are caretakers, Father God, those that are being taken care of, that you have blessed. We just ask you, Lord, to put people around them, Father God, that would speak life to them and over them, Father God. And I thank you.
Amen. And as we move forward, I do have all my, if you would like, dialogue. Of course, you know, we are interactive, so we like to hear from you. If you have a comment or two to make. And the thing that I like is that God blesses the body, amen, the body, of meaning that he blesses all, every part of the body. So it is good often when you come in and share your interpretation. So we do thank you for that. The Blog Talk Radio, if you'd like to listen to this message again, go to Blog Talk Radio and type in We Can Begin Again. You can listen to this message in the archive. We are on Zoom right now. If you'd like to come on Zoom and show your face, you could do that. The number to call in is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the pass.
That's out of call.
The ID.
Meeting ID number.
Yes, the meeting ID. I'm sorry. The meeting ID is 505-563-6808. And the password is Psalms 23. Psalms, thank you for correcting me. That is the capital
Psalm.
P. Capital P. P-S-A-L-M without an S. Psalm 23. And that will get you into, get you on the Zoom. Amen. That will get you on the Zoom. I see Pastor Miles has just connected with us. Amen. And if you would like to connect with us, please, ma'am, please, sir, do join that. We have added another tool to our blog radio, and we pray that it will be a blessing as we move forward, as we move in the name of Jesus. Also, if you would like to call in, the call-in number, if you would like to share this number with someone, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. 347-237-4054. When you call in, you can touch base with us through calling that number. Amen. You would be on the line. So let's move forward as we move forward into Psalms 6. Psalm 6. We have next week we have Pastor Miles, and we'll be welcoming him to come with a word from Psalm 7. We are going through the book of Psalms. Amen. The book of Psalms, and we will be going through the entire chapters. Amen. So if you have an opportunity to read prior to coming on, and you get a greater understanding once you come on and you have studied the word, or you've looked at Psalms, the Psalms that we are presenting for that evening, that will just bless you even more. So let's move on into Psalm 6. And the word says, and I'm going to go through scriptures, and I'm going to try to get through this as the best way that I can, and make sure that I am cognizant of the time as well. Psalm 1 through 3. Psalms 1 through 3, it reads as such. It says, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself, for you have come into the hand of your neighbor. God hastens and pleads urgently with your neighbor." With that 1 through 3, if you would like to look at the scripture as we move forward, and we discuss that 1 through 4. Amen. 1 through 4. And I am marking off as we go through this. And here we are, we're looking at what he's saying here is if he's saying here that if a person co-signs for a note involving high interest rates for someone else, and so he's talking about a loan, co-signing for a loan, that a co-signer was urged to get out of the obligation as soon as possible. He's telling you to free yourself. In other words, do not get into debt. Do not co-sign for someone and get into debt. You see, in Israel, lending was intended as a means of helping the fellow Israelites. It wasn't used as a money-making transaction as it is today. See, during that time, no interest was charged. No interest was charged to their fellow Israelites. No interest was charged. And interest could be applied to a loan to non-Israelites. He was not an Israelite. It could be charged. But to the fellow Israelites, it was there was no charge. Interest was not charged. It could be applied to a loan. Amen. And he goes on to say, he says, the law sought during these times was, he's saying that this is a warning for the reader. He's giving a warning. We're not talking about against borrowing and lending, but it's against or is being held accountable for another person's high interest loan. Now, when we look at here, some say the word neighbor means a stranger, and that co-signing is acceptable for your relatives, but not for strangers. And as through our studies, the parallel word suggests, however, that co-signing is advised like altogether. Co-signing is advised against that altogether. He's saying, do not co-sign for anyone, nobody, anyone. And he looks and goes on to say that when you co-sign, it is striking hand, and it's a gesture of shaking hands. It was like signing on the dotted line during the Israelites. They would shake hands, and that was their way of co-signing for others. And he's saying that to beware of the snares, beware of the traps, beware. It indicates it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. To take on someone's high interest debt. And he's saying to his son that you would be placing yourself in a financial situation over which you have no control. When you do this, you're putting yourself into a financial situation where you have no control. Humble yourself and be strong. And he's saying, crush the demeaning temptation to go forth and co-sign and put yourself in debt or high interest for someone else's serious trouble. When we look at we move on to four, and it says, give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. And I'm going to stop at six. It says, and it talks about the ant. Stop there. And in five, the interpretation here is Solomon is urging that a person, he's saying that a person has agreed to be security other's loan. Should you seek to get out? If you do not get out, then you will be trapped. So in other words, he's saying here, and he's saying to the readers, that when you co-sign for someone else, if they do not fulfill that obligation, if they don't fulfill that obligation, then it falls on you. And he's saying that you are going to be in debt with all of this high interest that's going to fall on you. And it's going, and he's saying here, even though that you, the neighbor, says it falls into your neighbor's hand, it means that the outcome of the situation is in the neighbor's control. In other words, the outcome is in the neighbor's control, in the other person's control. And if they do not control it like they're supposed to, then that debt will fall on you. It will fall on you. And he's pleading to the reader, do not co-sign for anyone, even if it is family. Because if they do not meet that obligation becomes your debt. And he goes on to say, he says, should you free yourself from debt in the agreement, even so, doing so demands great humiliation and pleading. Great humiliation, meaning that if you get, if this debt falls on you and you cannot pay it, you're going to be pleading to the lender about the debt that you cannot pay, and it falls into humiliation. Humiliation, I can look at that in terms of they will come and take whatever you have because the debt has now fallen on you. And what he is saying here, he's saying free yourself. Free yourself. By freeing yourself, meaning do not take on that obligation. Do not co-sign. I could go into situations with my own life when I co-signed and ran into some serious situations during my time as a young man. And even there's times when I, was started to do it in other situations. But I chose to, not to because of circumstances or situations that I fell into and I was trapped into where I had to end up paying the debt myself. Amen. And so he's going on, he's saying that when you fall into or when you co-sign for someone else, that you are falling into a trap if it is not taken care of. And I'm sure that we all know that. We understand that when we co-sign for someone else, we're saying that if that person does not pay for this loan or this obligation or meet their obligation, then I will pay for it. I will take over. I will take over. It becomes my problem. It becomes my debt. And he's saying, do not do that. He's urging and stressing the reader that nothing should stand in the way, even one night. Nothing should stand in the way, and it should be taken care of as soon as possible if you fall into this situation. He said take care of it, because if you do not take care of it, that the interest is going to continue to increase or rise, and that will fall on you, and you become trapped. He said, he uses an analogy, he says, just like a gazelle or a bird, if trapped, would immediately begin struggling for its life. And he's saying here that so the person snared by a foolish debt agreement should frantically fight to be free. Frantically get out of that debt. Do not fall, do not be entangled by debt. Amen. And I am going to stop there as we move on. We're at six. He goes on. It says, go to the end of sluggard. Consider her ways to be wise without having any chief or officer. He uses an analogy like the ant, that the ant has no captain, but they know how to get the job done. They know how to get the job done. And without having any chief officer or ruler, they know the direction that they go in order to get the job done. And she prepares, verse 8, it says, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? Will you rise from your sleep, a little sleep or a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest? And poverty will come on you like a robber and want like an armed man. That's it from 1 through 11. And that goes into another. We've talked about in terms of debt and making sure that you do not co-sign. He's urging the reader, even though it was the Israelites during that time, that was their way of they did not. They, even though that they co-signed, it was the signing of co-signing was the shaking of hands. That was their way of co-signing. But he was saying the difference between then and today, there was no interest rate. And what he's saying here is that the interest rate will place you into poverty by choosing to take on a debt and the interest rate. That's what he's saying here. And we're going to move forward, and we're going to open up a conversation as we go into 6 through 8. That is another part. He's talking about the sluggard, and we're going to talk about what he is saying here in terms of the sluggard. Are there any comments in reference to the lending or co-signing? Any comments?
Cisco, can you hear me?
Yes. For those listening on a line, can you hear from the Zoom?
Hello.
From Zoom, can you hear me? Please identify if you can hear us or not.
Pastor Michael, can you hear me?
Okay. First of all, good evening to you all, Brother Moderator, Sister Reverend Doctor. Always good to see and have fellowship and Bible study with you. Thank you for having me once again.
Thanks a lot.
All that are listening. I like the part about that COVID. This is something that really needs to be brought home to a lot of people. So even though you may say, well, that's a good personality, you got to be careful. That thing will be put on you so quickly in a way that it will be financially. And then you have to pay to keep your name good. And if you don't, your name will go bad. I remember many years ago, people warned me to say, even if your child needs to go to school, there's many other avenues out there, do not co-sign for any loans. If they want to go, they can find a way and they can get the loan. So needless to be said, I know someone personally, myself, that fell into that trap because they wanted the child to get education, but when they don't pay, the people are calling you. And then you have to pay. Looking like the gazelle or the deer trying to get yourself free.
Become trapped.
Word is true. But I'm experiencing it right now.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen. Any other comments in reference to co-signing and being trapped or feeling like you're trapped? Or have you experienced any situation such as that? The bike's on.
Well, you know what? We have to go back to the reason a person needs a co-signer. And usually if you need a co-signer, it's not a marital situation where they want both parties to sign, you know, for things. But it's because you can't afford it.
Yeah.
The person can't afford it. So if they can't afford it, you're saying that when you co-sign, you're saying, I can afford it.
Yes.
So I know, like as Susie Orman said, but for me, I knew that to co-sign for one child would mean that I need to be willing to co-sign for all of them. And so I can't do that. I know that I can't. I knew that I couldn't do that. Period.
Yeah. Because it's serious. I mean, it really is. Because you're really putting yourself on the line.
Because you put your reputation on the line. Because that's the other thing they're taking into consideration, is that you can afford it and you have the reputation. You're responsible. You have a responsible reputation. So you put your reputation on the line, too. So
I really hope that people who are listening to this really studies this. This is Proverbs 6, because it's real. It is really real with this. And even if a hiccup comes your way, these people still want their money. And the scripture's clear. You are slave to them until you pay.
Amen. 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 And the interest is constantly climbing. It is constantly climbing, and that interest, as it climbs, the interest is going to fall on the cosigner, and it gets to the point where oftentimes it is too high. I mean, it could be controllable at one point, but then if you do not free yourself from it, what he's saying here is that it can become a point where you are in so much debt that you feel trapped, And that's what he is saying here. And it's a practical warning. He's talking to his son, reminding him, letting him know, do not co-sign for anyone. Do not co-sign for anyone. And they use the word neighbor here, but in actuality, it's breaking it down and saying, he's saying no one, no one. Even though that they use the word neighbor, he's saying no one. Do not kind of cosign for them. And if you do, then free yourself as quick as possible. Or otherwise, you fall into the trap of high interest rates. High interest rates. And that's what escalates the loan. And that's what increases the loan and makes it sometimes a little bit too difficult to pay back. Anyone that's on, anyone that is on would like to make a comment in terms of if you've just come on, we're talking about, we are in Chapter 6 and talking about debt. There are three levels we're going to talk about, and that's debt. The other one is talking about being a sluggard. What he means is being a sluggard, and then we'll move forward to the third piece. I do have mics that are open. We have, for again, those of you who are just coming on, I see people coming on, 803, 803, 312, 301. For those of you coming on, we just talk about in terms of high interest in Chapter 6, amen, Proverbs Chapter 6. And Proverbs is referring to lending and borrowing. And he's saying that do not cosign for another person. And if you do cosign, make sure that you find yourself as quick as you can, or otherwise you will fall into a trap of high interest. And during that time, they did not have high interest. The only time that there was high interest if you were a non-Israelite. If you were a non-Israelite, you could charge interest, but it's totally different than today.
Still didn't charge, and they still do that. Most Jewish people still honor that, and a lot of other families do that too. That you don't charge your family interest. But to charge someone that's outside the family or outside your faith, in this case with the Jews, then that. Okay, that's it.
Even when I worked for a certain bank, I don't want to call their name, I received loans with negative, you know, whatever it was, negative. And that was just to keep my account going. You know, it was like prime, minus where the prime rate was at the time, minus a half a percent or a quarter of a percent. And they said, this is just to keep your account going because somebody has to pay it. So it's really like a free loan, paying for the processing. But yeah, I also remember when my father would do a deal with somebody, there was paperwork. There was no paperwork, just a handshake, and that was the deal.
Amen. Anyone else? Anyone other comments? Again, to remind you, we are interactive, and we'd like to hear from you if you have something to share. Any comments? I always like to make sure that we leave room for you. Amen. Well, let's move on for further. And again, we are in Chapter 6 of Proverbs. We are moving from, from 6 through 11. Through 11. I just read it. I will read over it because I have a few people that just moved in. We are in Proverbs 6, and we're reading through 11. It says, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. And here he is saying the interpretation is a person can be financially destitute, by laziness as well as by foolish dealings. Solomon was probably, he wasn't calling his son a sluggard. He wasn't calling his son a sluggard, but he was speaking rhetorically to anyone who might hear his message, anyone who might hear his message. And it refers to more than laziness. It refers more than laziness. A sluggard is contrasted with upright. So a sluggard is someone who chooses to be non-productive, as opposed to someone who is upright. Someone who's upright, who's going to get up, and they're going to get up and do what they have to do rather than lay there and rest. Lay there and rest and choose not to be a worker. Amen? And he's saying here, and Solomon is saying here, that a sluggard is contrasted with righteousness. Is contrasted with righteousness. A sluggard is associated with someone who is considered shiftless, someone who chooses not to work, who chooses not to be productive, who chooses not to be a worker. And I would like to say that there are times there are those who are physically unable to do or be productive. I need to emphasize on that, but he's not referring to that. He's referring to those who have the ability to be productive and choose to be what's considered here shiftless, someone who wants to lay and keep their hands rested for the whole time. And then he goes on, as I said, he talks about the ants are known for being industrious. They're commanded here for their initiative. They're not lazy. They're not irresponsible. They are challenged to learn from the ants. He's saying they're challenged, and he's saying they. He's talking about during this time, he's talking to, Solomon is talking to his people, but he wants them to learn from the ant, to learn from the ant. He's saying they have no leader. They have no commander to direct them, no overseer to inspect their work, no ruler to prod them on. You know, to motivate them on. Yet they work better than many people, a leader. Ants, he said, also using as an analogy, ants also work in anticipation of future needs, and we looked at in terms of how they prepare for the winter during the summer, and during the summer they prepare for the winter. They're productive. They are preparing for their future needs. Storing and gathering while it's warm before the winter comes. And this is a word for not only during Solomon's time, but it's also a word for you and for I to prepare for our future. Amen? And virtue here, the virtue of wisdom, is not being busy, but having the proper view, amen, for your forthcoming needs. Having the proper view of what's needed for your future in order to survive. When you have that, he's saying, when you have that forthcoming vision, that forthcoming view, that it motivates one into action. So you have a vision. You know, the Bible talks without a vision by people perish. He's saying that when you have a vision, you know what you need to do, and you're working toward that vision. Those who not only, he said, those who act only when commanded do not possess wisdom. Let me go back and retract and digress on that. Those who act only when commanded do not possess wisdom. And by Solomon's urge, the slugger They use the word slugger here. Follow the urge, the slugger, to get out of bed and start working. He points to the danger of a person continuing to nap when he ought to be working. And he's saying here, Solomon is saying here to the people that if you choose to do that, the poverty will come on him slowly in the same way that a robber or an armed man or a soldier attacks a suspecting victim. He's using the analogy of that when you choose to become a sluggard, that poverty will come on you like someone just robbed you of everything that you have. It will be taken away. It will be taken away. So with this time that he's saying that, do not squander the time that you have. A lazy person cannot rectify for his situation and his little or no money to meet his needs. Do not become a slugger. He's saying he wants you to become a worker. Be a worker. Prepare. Have a vision to prepare. And he's saying that if you find it difficult doing that, then what can motivate you is prepare for your future. Prepare for your future. I'm going to stop there and ask, are there any comments that anyone would like to make a comment? I see there are more numbers that have come on. Anyone would like to make a comment? The mics are open. Zoom is open. Mic is open. If you would like to come on the Zoom, be present on the Zoom at any time. The number is 505, ID number, should I say, 505-563-6808. And the password is Psalm, capital P, S-A-L-M, 23. Amen. Mike's open. Comments? Sluggard. Compared to laziness.
I like verse 9.
Verse 9?
I like verse 9 when it says, and I have to admit that sometimes I feel guilty of this, and I believe all of us have done it at one time. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? Will thou arrive out of thy sleep? How many times have you laid in that bed? Let me get this last little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I can get up in this next 5 or 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just spoke to me right now. Whenever I wake up and I see the clock, instead of getting that last little bit, get up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the laziness seed is trying to creep in.
Mm, okay.
Then you'll lay there for that last little 12 minutes when you could get up, and then you wind up oversleeping by 22 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that just meant for me, whenever I wake up and I think I can get this last little bit, no, get up.
Mm-hmm.
Get up at that time and then prepare, make ready.
Amen.
Because when you make ready, you don't have to get ready like the ant. The ant makes ready for that time of need. So when you make ready, you don't have to get ready. And if you have to get ready when you should be ready, you've already pretty much lost the battle from the start.
Amen. Anyone else? Anyone from on the call in would like to make a comment? 216-312-803s, 301s. Anyone like to make a comment? Your mic's open. And I hope and pray that you can hear what's being said as we are communicating via Zoom. Amen. Amen. As we move forward, we are trying to get through this. We have like about 15 minutes to get through this. Okay, we move to the next part of this, and I'm going to try to get through it as quick as I can as we move forward through here. We are on 12, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12. And it goes on to say, a worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger. A perverted heart devises evil. with perverted heart devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are the abomination to him: haughty eye, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. And as we start off with 6:12, and he talks about the scoundrel and villain, referred to a person who, a scoundrel is someone who literally is a man of Belial, someone who is worthless, or we might look at it, someone who is considered wicked, someone who is wicked. And later the word Belial came to be used of the devil. Amen. Let me just finish.
I was just going to expound on when you said a scoundrel was of Belial, and Belial means devil.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, people, I've even had some students named Belial, and I doubt very seriously if their parents knew what the word meant, but they think mm-hmm. that it's ethnic or whatever, but it means faith.
Thank you for you always making sure that I am on that straight and narrow. Thank you so much.
That's
funny. I love you. All right, let's move forward. Okay, and it says the scandal is known as someone who is considered, it's the devil, but it's someone who's corrupt. Someone with a twisted mouth, someone who is always deceptive and always lying. False words. You know, I think it was a while back, pretty pictures and painted ways. Lies, everything. Someone who can make something sound beautiful. Make it sound beautiful. Can lie at the drop of a hat. Lie at the drop of the hat. And it goes on here to say that from a deceitful heart, he says a deceitful heart is so that people are not aware of its intentions until it's too late. Someone who is good with words, someone who can easily paint pretty pictures, can tell the best stories and lies, and you don't find out that they're lying until it is too late. You have fallen into their web. You've become trapped by their words, by listening to their lies, and everything that they say, you believe. And I remember coming up when there used to be situations when people would come to another person and tell another person about how another person is, and they could not see it. They could not, no way. You know, and I know that nobody can identify with that except for me, but that's the situation when someone uses language. Someone uses language to get you to fall into a web, and before you know it, you're trapped. And that's what he's using here, someone who has a deceitful heart, someone who does not have good intentions. It also is caused by hatred or uncontrolled temper, someone who is discord, someone who is going through strife, someone who just have had uncontrollable situations that put them in situations where they became just an angry person. an angry person. So Solomon is talking about beware of people who are not, who are considered sinisters. And he talks about that we should value the value of wisdom and preserving from dissension. Wisdom. God has given you and I the ability to have wisdom, to be able to have a discerning spirit, so that when situations come upon us and lies and deceit and hatred is around us, we know that something is not right. Something just does not feel right. And Solomon is warning us from that. He's talking about, he calls them the scandal, someone who brings disaster on himself, and it comes unexpectedly and quickly at the instant. It happens all of a sudden, and you find that there's no way out. There's no remedy. There's no remedy. A person who has haughty eyes that goes on is someone who has a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that murder or shed innocent blood. Have you ever noticed that someone that kills someone and thinks nothing of it? Hearts that plot, wicked actions, feet that move quickly into sin. Rather going to repent, they go the opposite direction. They go the opposite direction. They move further into sin. It's almost like quicksand. They find themselves sinking, and when they free themselves and they have an opportunity to get free from it, they choose to go back into that same situation and sink even deeper. And those are the snares of the enemy. Those are the snares of the enemy. Those are the hands of a wicked, and you are the wicked and a dark situation. And it can even be among friends. It can even be among friends. People who lie against you. People who lie against you, even in court, take you to court and will lie on you. And these are all people that he's talking about. When he's talking about the scandal and the villain, these are the people that he's talking about. And he's saying to beware. Beware. These are the things that God hates. God hates those things. He hates those things. He hates those people who lie on you. He hates those people who go into court and lie on you and put you in situations because you are the body of Christ. You are his investment. You are his loved ones. You are his children. You are his children. God hates that. He hates the scandal. He hates those that come amongst you, that you allow in your atmosphere or your environment to control you by words, by deceitful heart, by wickedness. Someone who will do something to you, and then they run right back into their web and come right back out when it's time to come out. And he talks about mouth, feet, fingers, heart, eyes, tongue, hands, heart. He's talking about the body. The body. So we go on with here. I'm looking at the time. How much we have? 6 minutes left. My God. And I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to open up the mic. And it goes on from 6:20 through 21. It goes on to say, bind them on your heart always. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching light, and the reproofs of discipline are the ways of life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue and adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of prostitute is only a loaf of bread. But a man's woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk with hot coals on his feet and not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he's hungry. But if he's caught, he will give all the goods of his house. He who commits adultery lacks senses. He who does it destroys himself. He who gets wounds and dishonor and his disgrace will be wiped away. For jealousy makes a man furious and will not spare when he takes revenge. And he accepts no compensation. He will refuse, though you multiply your gifts. And as we go into our closing, before I open up our comments, here he's telling his son to heed his father and mother's instructions. He's telling him to heed your instructions, adhere to them inwardly. When you have situations that you're going through in life, he's saying that when you follow your mother and your father's instructions, he's saying that life is graced by those instructions. Life is graced by those instructions. Parental instructions provide guidance for protection and counsels. That teaching should be given from God's law, from the parental commands, like the word of God. It should be like a lamp and a light, given guidance to one's conduct. And he's talking up here about being disciplined. No matter what kind of situation you are in, no matter how many people that you're around, he's saying that we go to your guidance from what you have been taught. And what you have been taught, if they're coming from godly parents, they're the word of God. And if you follow your parental instructions, he's saying that that's wise counsel. That's wise counsel. Do not stray away from your parental guidance. And he's saying that when you do this, then wisdom, all the wisdom that you gain from your parental instruction, you know, Solomon is saying that that wisdom is acquired from God's word taught by one's parents. And I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to open up the mics as we go into our closing minutes. Amen. As we go into our closing minutes. Any comments? Any reference to that? Parental guidance. Following your parental guidance. Pastor Miles, were you trying to say something and I didn't hear you? I couldn't hear you?
No, I'm just doing little things.
Oh, okay.
I'm learning a new function, as you say.
Okay, I see that. Any comments from on the phone? Any comments in terms of, you know, parental guidance, parental counsel, and how
it's important for us to talk to young people, and the very often, and I know that all of us that are of age will attest to this, that growing up, you know, people, our elders would try to talk to us and tell us things, and feeling like, oh, what do they know? They're old timing. They don't, you know, things change. It's different. But there's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
And what's the word and the wisdom that's in God's word is wisdom that is timeless.
Mm-hmm.
True yesterday, it was true today, it'll be true tomorrow. So we need to continue to talk to the kids, even though they may seem like the young people seem like not listening, because they're still hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still touching their spirit, even though they may not want to hear it and may act like they're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting it. I can quote things that my parents and grandparents have said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I know that they're probably in heaven clapping their hands saying, she finally got it.
Amen. We'd like to hear from you. Go call in. Any comments in terms of parental guidance and how you have been blessed by your parents' guidance? Amen. As we go into our closing minutes. Amen. We have a quiet line here, and I'm just hoping that everyone was able to hear me. I see some went off and came back on, but I'm praying that you was able to hear the message this evening and you were blessed by the message. Amen. We are in Proverbs chapter 6. Next week, Pastor Miles will be coming on with Proverbs chapter 7. We'd like to, it'll be a blessing to have him back on with us again. Amen. For those of you who came on, keep in mind that we are going Zoom. We're doing Zoom as well as we are doing. You can call in by phone. You can also listen to us on the internet. Amen. If you want to listen on the internet, share with a friend, tell a friend. Amen. We're going through the book of Proverbs. We're in 7. We're going chapter by chapter. Next week we're in chapter 7. Amen. And the last week we will be with Archbishop Palmer in Maryland, and that will be Proverbs chapter 8. Amen. I don't know who will be speaking, but we will be there, and there will be a different Zoom call-in number. Amen. When we are with in Maryland with Archbishop Palmer, we are using a different Zoom. Amen. And again, we thank you for coming in and tuning in. I pray that, you know, you have been blessed, that you have been truly blessed. That is the only reason that we come week after week, amen, to be a blessing to the body of Christ. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you so much for joining. We look forward to hearing you and talking with you next week.
For new beginnings are not just fun.